Before I read the lesson, I'd like to say I am driving to Richmond on Wednesday to hear Franklin Graham. If anyone would like to go, we have room for one person, so the first lucky caller gets to ride with us. Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. And all others can come sit here.
This morning, our Old Testament lesson is Jeremiah 29, 1 and 4 through 7, and can be found on page 731 of your book. Thank you. Jeremiah 29, 1 to 4, 1 and 4 to 7. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may hear sons and daughters, they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not increase. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. The second lesson is the epistle, 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 15, found on page 212. Verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. This the saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. The gospel lesson is Luke 17, 11 to 19, and may be found on page 80. It's 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. When Jesus asked, were there not 10 made clean? But the other nine, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, says again why it is that he is suffering in Rome, on trial for his life, because he's preaching the gospel, and that is Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but the word of God is not chained. Verse 10 here is the strongest piece in this. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This trial that Paul is undergoing in Jerusalem, in Rome, is because he challenged both the established Jewish church and he also established the Roman law. He goes to Rome to preach Christ. Now, some might say Christ was a good rabbi, a very powerful rabbi. Some might say Christ was a worker of miracles, a magician. Some might say that Jesus was just a really, really good guy. All of those is true, but all of them falls short of who Christ Jesus is. Christ Jesus is in whom we have salvation. The cross is part of it. That's part of his story, history. His story is the cross, where he gives himself. Every time we celebrate communion, his body, the bread broken, his blood, the wine poured out, body given for you and for me, blood shed for you and for me. That's his story. And in that complete story, not a portion of the story, not just the miracles, not the fact that he stood in a boat in the Sea of Galilee and told the storm to abate, not that he stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come out, and he did, after he'd been in the tomb for 3 days, 4 days. And not because in the passage of Luke that he saw those 10 lepers and they cried out to him and he said, go and see the priests. He didn't say, you're healed, go and see the priests. He said, go and see the priests. Now, the only person who could declare them ritually clean because they had been lepers is the priest. Jesus didn't use any extraneous words, unlike me most times. He just said, go and see the priest. Now, as they were going, what happens? As those 10 go, each and every one of them, not just the one, not just the Samaritan, but all 10 of them realize that they're made clean. You know how they do that? Their keen powers of observation, I'm sure, couldn't have escaped them that all of a sudden the skin that had been itchy, decaying, falling off in some places, had been restored. And how? They hadn't dipped their bodies in the water of Siloam. They hadn't taken a special blood bath. No one had said, hocus pocus, you're now healed. Jesus said, go to the priest. And how, like you and me, all 10 were healed. But only one went back to see Jesus and knelt at his feet and praised God. And Jesus asks him the same question that most of us probably do is, we're not 10 healed? Why is it only one and him a Samaritan? Recognizes and comes back and gives thanks to the God. He tells him to rise and go. Your faith has made you clean. It's our faith in Christ Jesus, not just faith in hocus pocus, our faith in Christ Jesus that heals us. It's our faith in Christ Jesus in whom we have our salvation. As Paul says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Again, verse 10. So that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Now, you know what that salvation is? That salvation might be trials and tribulation. You know, the early Christian church were being persecuted. That salvation in Christ Jesus that they believed in, that they counted on, might have cost them their lives. We hear stories of how Christians were fed to lions. We have stories of where Christians were tied to a stake and burnt, lit on fire in Rome for entertainment. We have stories today of Christians who are tied up and put in a cage and lowered into a body of water slowly until they drown because they won't renounce Christ and convert to Islam. Think the world's any less insane than it was then? There's insanity that abounds, but as the insanity abounds, so does the salvation, the power of Christ Jesus. Because the salvation is not for this earth, not for this human body. It's for that heavenly body. We die to sin. In our baptism, the rest of it that's here in verse 11, the saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let's pull this one apart. If we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Think of how this works. Paul is where? In Rome. And what is he doing? He's enduring the imprisonment. He's enduring all that's there. But see, when you endure something, it's not that you give up on it. It's that you persevere. You hang in there. You don't lose faith in God. Not that he's going to miraculously pull you out of the situation. We know Daniel in the lion's den. He can do that if need be, if it serves his purpose, but oftentimes it doesn't. If we have died with him, we also live with him. Every one of us is baptized. And in our baptism, this is what we understand as our baptism. In our baptism, we are dead to sin in the name of God the Father. And raised again in Christ with immersion. We die to sin in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and rise to grace and life. We die to sin in the name of the Holy Spirit and we arise to the life. Now, don't get me wrong. Immersion is great. John the Baptist did it, but that was a baptism of renewal, restoration, but Jesus never mentions how much water. When he tells Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again by water and spirit. He doesn't specify how much water, but you must be born again by water and the spirit. And in our baptism, that's what we accept, that we have died to sin through Christ Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And that's part of our baptism. Now, regardless of the amount of water, whether, as oftentimes happens, we open the baptismal font, there's water there, we ask God's blessing on that water, the Holy Spirit comes and touches that water and it becomes holy water and we baptize. with a handful of water, we baptize thee in the name of the Father. We baptize thee in the name of the Son. We baptize thee in the name of the Holy Spirit. To each of those, we die to sin and rise again in salvation to life, life eternal. This is the part of nine. Salvation in Christ Jesus is with eternal glory. Our salvation is characterized in Christ Jesus in eternal glory. The song that we sang just now, shine the light of your grace on us. Shine the light of your grace on us. Lord, let your light of your face shine on us, that we may be saved, that we may have life, to find our way in the darkest night. Let your light shine on us. And it's a light of salvation. It's not a light of depression. It's not a light of death. It's not a light of darkness. It is light, life, love, life. That is Christ Jesus. If we've died with Him, we also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. That eternal glory. It's not coming while we're here. He's going to come and you and I might still be here, but that eternal glory is going to be after He gets there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the trumpet sounds, the clouds part, Jesus descends, the graves give up their dead, and we, the believers, rise with them to meet Christ in the heavens and forever. Hallelujah. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, we will also deny us. Scripture tells us if we confess with our lips and believe in our hearts, we have to confess. The thief on the cross. Case for the baptism people where you say that, where they say you have to be immersed. The thief on the cross was not immersed. Yet, when he looked at the Lord and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus said to him, what? Verily, truly, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's a promise of salvation. That's a promise of eternal glory. That's a promise that was not dependent upon an amount of water that washed over your body. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. You see, you and I, we fall short of grace. Let the light of your grace fall on us. It's His grace, because you know what? We need grace. Grace is that forgiveness for the things that we do repetitively. We do it again and again. Is any one of us perfect? No. Paul says, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. And that's why we go to that cross. That's why we go to that rail for communion. That's why we get down on our hands and knees and ask God's forgiveness for what we've done. Please, Lord, forgive us, we pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. You know, everybody else in your life can fall short and disappoint you. But Christ never will, unless we're expecting something from Him that we want, and we want it our way in our time. Christ is going to answer our prayers, yes or no, and in His time. He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Now, there's much to be said about doing the right things. And it's good. But doing doesn't get us to heaven. Okay? Doing helps people. The food bank, food distribution, all of that, prayers, all of that helps. But those are things that we do not to earn salvation, but because we're saved, We believe in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the one who saves us. You and I can't save anybody. My mom, as blessed and saint that she was, couldn't save me. Christ Jesus saves me. Christ Jesus saves you. Your salvation is in Christ Jesus. My salvation is in Christ Jesus. And it is not just a salvation in this world, but it is a salvation that is in eternal glory. Hallelujah. Let's go back to that Luke passage. Which one of the ten are you? Are you part of the nine? You just rush off to the priest to have him declare you clean? Or are you that one Samaritan? You look down and you see that you're healed. Now, do you stop what you're doing and go back and give thanks? Are you that one? I hope and pray that you are. Where in your life has the leprosy come in? Where in your life has the decay that will rot you out of existence? Leprosy. Your skin falls off. Your skin flakes. There's death in it. People lose limbs. They leave appendages, fingers, toes, legs, hands, arms, ears. It's the most disgusting way to die. And it is long, long term. How like our lives lived in sin are like that. Unlike a life lived in grace. Yeah, our bodies will decompose. Our bodies will expire. There are headstones out there all around this church that mark the resting place of the earthly remains. Many of them family members. I mean, when I walk around the church grounds and I see the names on the tombstones, Crittenden, Jackson, Bristow, saints who have gone before us, and eternal glory is ours. Our salvation is not of this world. It is not of anyone in this world. It is of Christ. Now, we know Christ is here through the Holy Spirit, but we need to have our faith and our hope and our lives vested in Jesus, His grace and His mercy. Let His grace fall on us that we might live, that we might know life. For Christ brings a life and a grace and a forgiveness, not as the world gives peace. Christ gives us a peace that is eternal, forevermore. Which one are you? One of the nine? Or the one who comes back and gives praise to God? Shalom. Peace.